I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me today. It is a good life. And you know, if there were no heaven or hell, the Christian life is still the best life to live. In John 14:1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus is speaking to those people who have trusted Him as Savior today. And if you're going through a difficult time, let not your heart be troubled. God is still on the throne, and we can sit around and wring our hands and say, what's going to happen next? Well, the thing that I'm looking for to happen next is the return of my Savior in the clouds. When He comes back and says, come up hither, and He receives me up into the clouds to be with Him forever. Now, it's true that before He comes back for me in the what we call the rapture of the church, it may be that I'm taken before then, that my body will die. But either way, I'm going to be with the Lord, so I have nothing to be concerned about. Let not your heart be troubled. It doesn't make any difference of what this world can do or say to us as saved people. We have the knowledge of knowing that God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has given us peace. He's given us the best life that anybody could ever want in this world. Now today I'm going to speak to you in just a few minutes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, Bread for the Soul. Let me remind you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. On that website, you can actually listen to this program again through the website there, and you can also download a free transcript. If you'd like for me to send you a transcript, a free written transcript of this program, write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Now, you can go to that website, lrwm.org, and you can also leave a prayer request there, and we'll be more than happy to pray with you about the needs you have in your life. Isaiah chapter 55. Now, we're going to look at a few verses here today. Once again, our time is short, but God can speak to our hearts through His Word today. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1 it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Now God is not indifferent to the sorrows, sufferings, and struggles of His people. Where there was bereavement, Jesus wept, John 11:35. Where there was suffering, He healed, Matthew 9:35. And it says there, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And then we see where there was weariness from excessive toil. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," Matthew 11:28. Now, God is not lacking in resources to meet human need. We look around today and we see so much turmoil in our land and in our world. We see that the money that so many people have invested, and now it's gone. People, once again, are wringing their hands wondering what to do. But you know, God is not lacking in resources. In Psalm 50 and verse 12, it says, "The world is mine." This is God speaking. "The world is mine and the fullness thereof." Haggai Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." Psalm 50:10 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills." God is still in charge. And as we look at chapter 55 of Isaiah in verse 1 and the remaining verses here, we see that God is not primarily thinking of bread for the body in these verses, but He's thinking of bread for the soul. God is calling His people to higher ground in Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, it spells out the alternatives of going to that higher ground. We see first the hunger that comes through disobedience. In disobedience, labor is fruitless. We can work our fingers to the bone, but disobedience is not sanctioned by God. In verse 2 of Isaiah 55, it says, "Wherefore do ye labor for that which satisfieth not?" Haggai 1:6 says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." The only thing that's going to amount to anything in our lives is what we send on to heaven. One of those things that we send on to heaven is that lost soul that we can share the gospel with. That person that we share Jesus with. That person who received Jesus as their Savior. That's who and what we can send on to heaven ahead of us and put in the bank of heaven. Souls that need to be saved, that got saved. We can also send ahead our funds that we earn while on this earth. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that is the problem. It's when we realize that God owns everything, including our money, then we share that with those people who are in need today. We do that through our local churches. We do that in helping this lost and dying world to realize that Jesus loves them. And through our efforts, they can see Jesus in our lives and therefore turn to Him when we say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." We look on in this chapter and we understand that in disobedience, money is unavailing. Isaiah 55:2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which satisfieth not?" Now, money, once again, is admittedly a power not to be despised. It enables the faithful steward to evangelize to the ends of the earth. It nourishes Christian enterprises which would cease to function without it. Money can buy physical comforts, but not bread for the soul. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, "The rich fool amassed great wealth, but he lost his soul. Many a poor fool has come to the same sad ending without even the monetary satisfaction of amassed wealth." People strive for wealth. They strive, and it's a waste of time. God says that there will be some who are wealthy. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money. Because, as I've just mentioned, the work of God is empowered, is kept going by the finances of God's people. The work of God is not constrained or hindered by the lack of finances because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His primary concern for us today is that we have bread for the soul. G. Campbell Morgan relates this, a great preacher relates this. He speaks of a woman that came to him. This lady said, "I am going to give myself to Christ and follow Him. I have counted the cost. I will possibly have to do some things that are distasteful to me, which means sacrifice and suffering." And he goes on to say later, face beaming with joy and contentment, the lady told him, "Dr. Morgan, I said I would follow Christ no matter what. Everything has been so different from what I thought. I do what pleases me every day. the Lord has made me pleased with the things that please Him. Dr. Alan Redpath says this, the Christian life is not an up and down life, but an in and out life. In for orders, out for obedience, in for worship, out for witnessing, in for surrender, out for service. There is satisfaction that comes through obedience. It is not necessary to remain unfed. There is bread for the soul. In verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 55, it says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. Verse 2 says, hearken diligently unto me. Perhaps overfed and undernourished, you have tried every unsatisfactory substitute and are still uneasy, uneasily moving around like an accident going somewhere to happen. It's not necessary to remain unforgiven. Verses 6 through 7 talks about that. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The heaviest load of all is that of unconfessed, unremoved, unforgiven sin. The crushing burden of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress rolled from his shoulders when he came to the foot of the cross. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Has your sins been forgiven today? First of all, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do so right now. If God speaks to your heart right now, right where you're at, let Him come into your heart. Let Him save you today. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected for you. He lives for you today. Because He lives, you can also live. You could pray something like this, Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. I believe you died for me, and you rose from the grave for me, and I believe that you live for me today. And I'm trusting you to come into my heart and save me today. I'm trusting you, Lord, to save me right now. If you'll pray a prayer something like that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and that's what you'll be doing when you bow your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God can't lie. His word does not lie. To as many as receive Him, to them gave He, gives them the power to become the sons of God. If you are saved and you're struggling, most people are struggling today with one thing or another. But if you're struggling because you've been disobedient to the Lord, you need to come back to Him today. You need to find the rest that He has for you as a saved person. Dear Lord, forgive me of being disobedient to You. Forgive me, Lord. Use me for Your honor and Your glory. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do that today. God will bless you. Thank you for joining me today, and let me remind you once again that you can look at our website, lrwm.org, and leave us a prayer request there. Until this same time next week, may the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.